passage says when it comes to lying, the heart of the issue is the issue of the heart. When it comes to lying, to not being truthful, to what comes out of my mouth really lies with the issue of my heart. That I'm insecure, that I'm prideful. All those things that humanity has. That Jesus is saying, listen, in the system, and he's talking to the people that are sitting there talking to us today, he says, in the system that you have a check-off box that says, listen, if you don't murder, if you don't do these, then you're okay. And if you don't do this, it's okay. But Jesus is saying, listen, I want you to get in behind the law. Go behind it. Go into the heart of the issue, which is the issue of the heart, and the fact that it's not just about checking off a box, but it's about a relationship. Because as soon as I go to checking off a box, listen, there's going to be one box I can't check off. And I'm going to live a life of frustration and condemned, feeling condemned. And that's not what Jesus came to do. He came to change our hearts. And so, listen, as we look at this, we see that Jesus wants to tear down. He's saying, listen, I want to tear down this religious system that is in place. And let you know that it's about a relationship. In other words, Jesus is saying, listen, stop fudging. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. My followers, those who are part of my kingdom, are going to be different. They're going to dance to a different dance. People are going to notice your life by the way you live. And what did Jesus say earlier? He said, listen, when you do that, it points back to a heavenly Father, because it's not normal. Fudging is one of those things. So many of us, including Christians, live in this gray area, somewhere between the truth and what we think is the truth. And Jesus is saying, listen, when it comes to that, stop doing it. Quit making oaths. I love what Jesus does here in the scripture. He says this. He says, you've heard it said from long ago. Listen, you've heard it said, but I say, rethink. He says, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vow you've made. He said, listen, if you promise something, you do it. You fulfill it. He said, but I tell you, do not swear an oath at all. So what does that mean? Does that mean that we can't swear oaths? Of course not. I mean, when you stood right down in front of a pastor and you took an oath, you took a vow for marriage, that was a commitment for life. It was an oath between you and and God and your spouse. That's an oath. It's a vow. Listen, many times we make promises. Jesus is not saying we can't do that, but what he's saying here is, he says, but I tell you, do not swear oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, for by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem. He's saying, listen, you may think that you can put a loophole in there, that you can go and begin to not tell all the truth, but you have sworn already by God, and guess who owns everything? God. Anything you swear by. He said, just don't do it, because in doing so, you're already saying, I have to tell the truth. There are no loopholes. There are no times where it's okay to do this. And he says, listen. And he goes on, he says, for it is the city of the great king. He says, do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Now, some of you ladies with Clairol are thinking, well, he doesn't know about Clairol. We can make our hair black. But what he's saying here is, what he's really saying is, you have very little, actually zero control of what happens. But I do. How could you swear by anything because you have very little control over it? Not even the very hairs of your head. And then he just says it so simply, as Jesus so beautifully does. He says, all you need to say is simply yes or no. It's about integrity. The Christian life is about representing a Savior with integrity. How many of you know people who claim to be Christians who've burned other people? Just raise your hand. Look around. Do you wonder sometimes why people don't want to come to church? Do you wonder sometimes why they look at Christianity and go, you're no different than the rest of us? Jesus saying, listen, it's about a life lived differently. A life with a heart change. Because if we just say, hey, I'm going to try not to lie, I'm going to try not to do these things, then at that point, it's all about me and my power. But Jesus is saying, listen, my followers, because they are mine, with me living in them, a part of my kingdom as my children, will have the power to let their yes be yes and their no be no. And so it's interesting that what he's saying here is that these Pharisees, the people who are doing this, are more interested in being believed. Now listen to this. They're more interested in being believable than they are about being godly. You see, there's a big difference there. If I'm just trying to convince you that I'm a Christian because of my actions, they're more convinced about, hey, I am what I say I am. Let me convince you with my actions. What he's saying is, listen, it flows from the heart. He said they're more interested in just being believable by saying, hey, I do this by Jerusalem. I do it by this. I do it by that. And Jesus is saying, listen, your life, now get this. Your life will be the thing by which you can judge it. If you live a life in such a way that if you let your yes be yes and your no be no, guess what? Your integrity because of your relationship with God will be enough. Do you get that? Do I get that? My life should be that if I just say yes, they go, you know what? Ron's a follower of Christ. I know he keeps his word. I know who he represents. I may not even believe it, but I know that Ron does, because I know the way he lives his life. And so it's not about trying to be believable. It's about our walk with Jesus, about being godly, about our integrity. And so how do we do this? Let me give you some practical things. As we look at this idea, as we kind of break out, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And the first one is this: to tell the truth consistently. To consistently put it into your life that you're going to tell the truth, even when it's not easy. You see, so many times, and I know that I do this, and maybe you do it, I don't know, I can't speak for you. But when it comes to my spiritual life, I compartmentalize it. I have a church spiritual life that over here, listen, no problem, I'm telling the truth. I'm it's all about, hey, I'm all for my Savior. I'm doing all the things here. It's easy. You know what? It should be easy around those who are followers of Christ to live the life. It should. You're in the light. You're around those who are like-minded. You're telling the truth. But so many times, I know for me, maybe for you, but there is another part of my life where I can compartmentalize this and say, this is the way I act here. But out in the world, it's different. Over here, it's okay if I fudge on a timesheet. Over here, it's okay if I'm not completely honest in the business world. Because listen, everybody's doing it. I mean, it's just part of our industry. We just do this. And so, you know what? When I'm over here, listen, man, I get it. I'm wrong. But listen, stop that. Now I'm out in the business world. So my Christian life, and then this is my business life, and this is my family life, and this is my ball life, and if we compartmentalize all these things, then we can feel good here, and we can avoid feeling like we're not supposed, that we're doing something inappropriate over here, because we've separated everything. But you know what? Our Christian relationship, our relationship with God, is not based on the fact that we can just leave it somewhere. I've used this illustration before. But what if you ladies were to say, your husband came to you and said, you know what, when I'm at home, I'm married, but when I go to work, is it okay if I take my wedding ring off? I'm married here. No, when you put that ring on your finger, guess what? No matter where I go, guess whose husband I am? Melinda's. I'm married. I can't compartmentalize my married life any more than I can compartmentalize my life with Jesus, because it's a relationship that goes with me. But so many times we try to compartmentalize it so that we can fudge. We cannot tell the truth. And so we need to tell the truth consistently. This goes back to our casual commitments. Listen, when it comes to we say we're going to do something, guess what? We should do it. If we're going to show up somewhere, show up. If you're going to be home at 6, barring something that completely gets you there, don't say you're going to show up at 6, knowing full well at the beginning you're not going to show up at 6. Just because you don't want to deal with the consequences of somebody saying something. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Your corporate commitments, your job. Listen, followers of Jesus should be the best employees anybody has. We should set the standard on honesty. When a business owner thinks about someone who never has to worry about what they're going to do with their timesheet or whether they're going to show up late and try to sneak in, all those things, whatever it might be, we should be telling the truth consistently, because you know what, as we put that discipline, we put that practice into our life. And then kingdom commitments. Many times many of us have said, God, if you just get me out of this, I'll go on a mission trip. And then God provides and you're like, if you get me out of it the next time, I'll go. Honor those kingdom commitments. If you've said yes to something that you're serving here at the church, listen, thank you so much. But listen, let's be consistent in our truth telling. And the next thing we want to do is we want to tell the truth completely. Man, this is hard. It's hard. Listen, a half-truth is not truth, is it? A version of the truth is not truth. Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Isn't it interesting that psychologists and counselors, they report that they get this phrase more than any other phrase when people come and begin to go through counseling. And you know what it is? This is the first time I've ever been able to be completely honest with somebody. Wow. It's hard. We keep so much back, even to ourselves. We don't want to share the complete truth. Because in doing so, we have to look ourselves in the mirror. I have to look myself in the mirror at the reality of who I am and what is going on. And psychologists say, listen, that what can happen, Dr. Sidney Girard, he says this. He says, the habitual disassembling of self-compartmentalizing, telling the truth, leads to a disintegration of your personality. They're saying that people are compartmentalizing their lives so that they can stay in their mind somehow a view of healthy. And what's happening is it's causing multiple personalities. It's causing mental illness because people are lying to themselves about what is going on and what's happening in their heart just so that they can, just as the Pharisees, put on a show for everybody. Listen, church is the worst place this happens. We put on a happy face to come sit around other people with happy faces, and we've all got stuff going on. Amen. I got stuff going on. You want to hear about it? I know you don't. But it's true. Listen, Jesus is saying, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Tell the truth completely, because in doing so, listen, people will tell you, oh, have you ever done that and you really bared your soul to somebody and it's just like this weight has been lifted off of your shoulders, and for the very first time you're like, oh, I feel so good to tell the truth about who I am. People who've been in recovery know this to be true, because it's not until they truly acknowledge where they are in their current life that they can truly be healed, because they've compartmentalized their life to the point to where they can survive. And the other one is this: tell the truth carefully. Carefully. Sometimes the truth is tough to hear. Jesus is saying, listen, the truth needs to be shared, but you've got to think of your motive behind the truth. You see, we could take this verse and use it like a club and just be like, I don't like you because of whatever. I'm just being truthful. How many of you ever heard that? That's just who I am. I say anything I want to. Comes out of my mouth. I'm just being truthful. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. Listen, when you go to tell the truth, what do we read? We read in Scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Paul speaking, he said, instead, speak the truth in what? Love. He says, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is, who is it? Christ, like Jesus. Share the truth like Jesus did. We read over and over and over again. What did he say? He had compassion on them. He reached out to them and said things that they did not necessarily want to hear. Now, the only ones he still did it in love, but with the Pharisees, I'm not, anyway. And they were the religious guys. You see, Jesus is saying here, tell the truth carefully, but you need to tell the truth. You know, there's the old adage, every single one of us, you're like, well, what do you do when your spouse comes out and says, hey, do I look fat in these jeans? You run. You just don't answer. I'll never forget that, you know, my daughters who, you know, they were younger and you know, and I was, you know, probably still in my 30s thinking I was cool, and I wasn't, but I thought I was. And I'll never forget the day that I was walking in the mall with them, and we went into the, like American Eagle, and they stopped me at the door, and they're like, wait a minute, Dad. You can't come in here. You're not allowed in here. You're too old. You can't wear these clothes. Why would you even come in here? And I'm like, Dad, you can't pull off anything in here. None of these clothes will look good on you. And I was just like, but I want to come. I want to go in there. He said, they were telling me the truth and love. If I'd have walked out of there in a pair of skinny jeans, I'm telling you, it would have been the worst thing you've ever seen. But they told it in a way that, because I knew that they loved me. But you know what? Their outcome was my very best, wasn't it? Telling the truth in love means that we're trying to tell the truth because we want the very outcome. If our intentions are differently, what we talked about, the five common lies, one, your intention is that you want to hurt. We should do it in love. What do we see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29? He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We have to tell the truth carefully, don't we? But we must tell the truth. We must tell the truth. Because what we want to do as followers of Christ is we want to help people get further down the road. Listen, I want to get further down the road. I want people to speak truth into my life. I don't want to compartmentalize my life that I don't get the feedback that's going to help me and to get those blind spots out of my eyes so that I can be the follower of Jesus that he's calling me to be. Jesus is saying, listen, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So why don't we do this? It's real simple. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, the last part, here's what he says. He says, for out of the overflow of the mouth, now get this, he says, out of the overflow of my mouth, is it my mouth speaking? What does it say? It's my heart speaking, isn't it? What's on the inside is what comes out of my mouth. It's a heart change. It's a heart change. And here's the good news. Jesus came to change hearts. He came so that we can get off the wheel of our own trying. Get off the wheel of trying to figure it out for myself. He said, listen, I'm after your heart. Because when I change your heart, everything else begins to flow out of that. Your whole view of life and relationships and view of God and the things that I say and my motives all begin to line up. And listen, this is a process. It's a lifelong process. Many of you have been followers of Christ for a while, but guess what? Sometimes that heart, even though it's been turned from stone to a living flesh, it can begin to have sin creep into your life, and because of that, you begin to have a distorted view of God and who you are, and you begin to think, man, I got to get back on the wheel and please my Heavenly Father. But here's the good news today. Today can be a day where you can get before God and say, listen, I just want to give it all to you. I just want to surrender. I want to put myself before you and say, God, I'm trying my best to do all these things, but I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted. God, when I get in those tight moments, I don't have the power within you, feeling the power in your life to make those choices because I'm doing it under my own power, my own flesh. And God, I just want to get before you today and say, God, I give up. God, renew my heart. Renew my heart. You know, very easily, this could become just a self-help message. But it's not. Supernatural heart change. God wants nothing more. God wants the very best for me and for you. And listen, as we think about this and moving into a time of decision, let me read this for you. And the psalmist wrote in 51:10. And this can be our prayer today. This can be our request, our crying out to God. It says this, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Listen, today we can make a decision to renew our hearts with God. For some of you, maybe it needs to be done for the very first time. You've never, in a personal way, had a heart change. You've never asked Jesus to come into your heart to forgive you, acknowledging that you're separated from him because of sin, and to ask him to come in your life and say, God, I can't do it. I've done it on my own, but today I want to surrender to you. God, I want to ask you to come into my life and to save me. I don't understand what all that means, but today I believe it for the very first time. Maybe there's some of you today who just need to get before God on your face and say, God, I created me a pure heart, O God. Because I want to be that different person dancing to a different dance as I go out to be salt and light, that I might be a part of what you're doing in this community. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head. The musicians are going to come and play. This is your opportunity to do something. You don't have to. You can do it in your seat. But if you'd like to come and nail it down right here today, I'm going to be down front. If you'd like to pray with me, we can start a conversation today about how to accept Jesus as your Savior. But if you just need, this area is open. You want to come and spend some time with God, this is your opportunity. I'm going to pray, and when I'm done, that'll be your time to move. Father, we thank you for today. Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you that you don't rely upon our own abilities. God, we'd never make it. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy. God, we thank you for your justice, that you are a God who cannot stand sin. God, that you want the very best for us. And the very best for us is not what we think it is. But God, it all starts with a relationship with you. And so, God, I pray that today you renew in us a new heart, that our spirits would be encouraged. God, as we go out this week making decisions, God, that we would let our yes be yes and our no be no, because in doing so, we live lives that point back to our Heavenly Father. Father, I pray for every person here that you would do what you want to do, that we would be open to the moving of your powerful Holy Spirit. We ask all this in Jesus' name.